Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the third and final hour of the program for today. Anyway, it's a beautiful day out there. I hope you're able to enjoy it. I want to thank again Boston Herald reporter Tim Dunn for coming in and sharing an hour with us. If you missed any of that, you can hear it all, as any program that we do here at WBSM is cataloged for free forever as a podcast. So wherever you get your free podcasts, you can get my show, Barry's show, Tim's show. So it's all available. Opposition research candidates, get out there and take a look at it. Anytime we've had candidates on, it's all archived and cataloged up there. So in this hour, a couple of things. Number one, we've got the election tomorrow in Fairhaven. I was out and about this weekend, saw a lot of the candidates out there on the sidewalks, waving to the pedestrians as they were going by. The election is tomorrow morning, okay? Starts, goes all the way through till the afternoon. So, the evening, rather. So, if you live in Fairhaven, consider going out and voting. And you have the Proposition 2.5 override that's on the ballot. Whether you're for it or against it, it's a personal decision. Go make your decision known tomorrow. So, I hear Rick Trapillo is running ads here. I would like to hope the other candidates will as well, although the time is dwindling, right? Again, I really appreciate campaigns that advertise here, not about me, because they appreciate you, the listeners. And nobody knows exactly how you feel about the issues. Because we all have different opinions, and they fluctuate from issue to issue. And I know a lot of you are like me. You're a swing voter. You might vote traditionally for one party, but you're willing to listen to the other party. And you know that's how I operate. And sometimes I've made mistakes that way. I voted for Maura Healey. I've told you that repeatedly. Because while I normally vote Republican, I didn't think the Republican candidate, and I don't want to relitigate it, was qualified to be the governor. I voted for him when he ran for U.S. Senate because U.S. Senate is a different job than being the governor. I mean, it's just an entirely different, totally different job. And I bet a lot of you are the same way as I am. You might traditionally vote for Democrats, but you're willing to, say, vote for a Charlie Baker or a Scott Brown. So anyway, I appreciate campaigns that recognize the diversity of the thought in my audience. And so they advertise to them because they know that you're the swing voter, like the host of this program, that you will vote for the best person with the best ideas for that particular job. That you're not a robot who, if you see a D or see an R, you must vote Democrat, must vote Republican. So I appreciate the campaigns that recognize that and advertise on this radio station to reach what is a very diverse audience, particularly when you look at from the beginning of the morning with Tim Weisberg through the later part of the morning with me into the afternoons and evenings with Barry and Howie. It is a tremendously diverse audience, and we highlight all different candidates and try to give you that benefit. Anyway, a Democrat who I think a lot of, and particularly for the way she uses political power and understands that it comes from the masses, right? From me and you, the individual precinct voters. Okay, Diana DeSaglio. She's a Democrat, was a Democrat in the House, in the Senate, now is a statewide official. Diana DeSaglio, however, she's a tremendous leader on ballot initiatives, which require success through the people. And that is where she's drawing her power. Look, I point to Leo Choquet. Leo Choquet has never stopped having his open monthly meetings in Ward 1, where he invites the whole city. He comes on this program, reminds me, asks me to promote it, and I'm more than happy to promote acts of democracy, like an open meeting by an elected official. There's a rally tomorrow for Sean Oliver and Brian Shortsleeve, inviting all Republicans, and I guess unenrolled as well, who are interested in the governor's race. They're going to be doing it at Travelers on Route 6 here in Fairhaven, Huddleston Avenue. Be tomorrow evening. Sean Oliver and Brian Shortsleeve. It's a public meeting. Everyone's invited. And I'm happy to promote it. They should probably have bought advertising, but whatever. I'm happy to mention it here on the air to encourage people to get out of their house, go out, see neighbors, talk about important things, have a laugh or two. And you can't do that when you're sitting on Facebook and just being a sheltered person on the internet, right? Sending emails is not politics. It's part of politics, but it's not politics. It's about getting out and meeting people, shaking hands, having a couple of laughs, networking. So anyway, what Diana DeSaglio does with her ballot initiatives, and it looks like she's going to do another one for the open records law that apparently Governor Healey is supporting as well. So Diana DeSaglio was on the record, Channel 5 WCVB. Now, it's on Sunday, late Sunday mornings, 11:30. I watch it so you can go to church, okay? I watch it because you don't have to. But I will bring the clips to you, and I encourage you to go to their website, WCVB.com, and watch the clip in its entirety. But Diana DeSaglio, who gives a lot for Republicans to think about, even though she's a Democrat. Here is On the Record with Diana DeSaglio, a portion of it from yesterday morning.
Hill to Capitol Hill. Today's newsmakers are going on the record.
Good morning, everyone. It is Sunday, June 7th. I'm Ed Harding.
And I'm Sharman Sacchetti. And joining us at the table, Massachusetts State Auditor Diana DeSaglio. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, your push to audit the legislature, as you know, has dragged on for about a year and a half after 72% of voters here in Massachusetts passed it at the ballot box in 2024. Then last week, the House passed what they're calling a transparency bill. It would apply existing public records laws to the governor's office, but not lawmakers. It allows the legislature's administrative functions to be audited, not constitutional functions. The bill also attempts to narrow what your office, can review. You've called this bill a dumpster fire. Tell me why.
Yeah, that is correct. It is a dumpster fire, Sharman. And here is why. What the House of Representatives did this week is they not only undermined democracy by voting to strip away everything that the electorate decided in the November 2024 election cycle on that ballot question for my office to conduct an audit of the state legislature to the tune of 72%. But they also, essentially went a step further, and they made it so that essentially they're also taking the court's power away from them.
Right, they're saying the courts can't review any dispute.
Right, so this is something that, is just completely bogus on every front. They're saying that this just limits the audit. No, what this does is this gives the speaker full control over the audit, like he's wanted this entire time, and it makes it so that our office can get records, .. so long as the speaker says we can get records, and that is not an audit from our office.
This separation of powers issue, and that keeping the courts from reviewing any dispute, that's how that would be resolved on their end. What's your response?
Yeah, well, the power of the courts is to adjudicate laws. It is to settle disputes. This is a very big legal dispute between the people of Massachusetts and the legislature right now, and it deserves to be heard in the courts, where that is their power, is to settle these differences. And we've asked the courts for their remedy to be, giving a ruling on the constitutionality. We very much want that ruling from the courts, because we're confident that it's constitutional. Sharman, they're not confident in their argument. That's why they're trying to keep us out of the courts, change the law, and in the law, write into law that that the auditor's office is blocked from accessing the justice system, that is unconstitutional. They cannot legislate in the Mass General laws that the courts don't have the power to adjudicate matters of law. They are violating the separation of powers. That's the court's role, not their role. And Mr. Speaker has led his membership down a very, very dangerous path. I just want to add, too, you said that, you know, they voted to subject the governor's office to the public records law. Okay, that's great. But once again, they're making laws for thee, but not for me when it comes to these things. The governor has endorsed the public records ballot initiative, right? That's going to increase access to public records. We will take that support. For the speaker to lead his members down the path of saying, okay, great, well, then you can follow the public records law, but they're not going to. Well, guess what, Mr. Speaker? We're going to the ballot, and we're going to actually pass a law again that is going to tell them exactly where the voters stand. And I'm confident that that ballot question is going to pass with much more than 72% of the vote this time.
You mentioned this.
So that is Democrat Diana DeSaglio. 72% of us supported her initiative to audit the legislature. You heard what the supermajority Democrat legislature just did. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. But you're going to go along with it, many of you, and reelect these Democrats. Now, Donna DeSaglio recently also went out of her way to criticize a Democrat in Bristol County running for re-election, Lisa Fields, who represents part of the city of Taunton and part of the town of Easton. It's a gerrymandered district for Democrats, but she's got a very qualified Republican opponent running up there as well. But Dinah DeSaglio went out of her way to criticize Lisa Fields, who's a Democrat. Remember, Diana DeSaglio was first a member of the House. Actually, she was first a staffer, then a member of the House, then a member of the Senate, all as a Democrat. Today, she's elected as a statewide Democrat, but she's independent enough to criticize members of her own party, to include State Representative from Taunton, Lisa Field. Really a big deal, what's happening here in Massachusetts. I would encourage you to check out the rest of that at interview@wcvb.com. I might go back to it. Make the safe choice this spring with Citywide Glass. Does your windshield have a big crack in your view? Did you wake up to vandalism overnight? Don't stress. Call the pros at Citywide Glass. They can repair or replace your auto glass quickly and safely. And their mobile tech team will come right to you. You don't have to go to them. They'll come right to you. Your windshield can be replaced or repaired while you're home or at work, on the job site, or even at a shopping center at no extra charge. Life is busy. Let Citywide Glass make your auto glass repair easy. Citywide Glass, make the safe choice. Visit citywideglass.net. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll be right back. 508-996-0500. Open phones.
This portion of programming on WBSM is brought to you by D's Hot Dogs in New Bedford, where you can get two hot dogs, chips, and a soda for just $6.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Welcome back to the program. This hour is brought to you by the ice cold beer and the world's best chicken wings at Rose Alley Ale House in downtown New Bedford. What a great day to sit on the deck at Rose Alley Ale House. It's almost noontime. It's noontime in Nova Scotia. Soon enough, it'll be noontime here on WBSM. Hopefully, we'll see you at Rose Alley out on the deck. Let's go back to the phones. Open phones, guys, whatever's on your mind. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Chris. Don.
Don, what's happening?
Well, two quick points here, if I may. Okay. First off, There was nothing in the ballot question that gave any authority to any branch of government to exempt themselves or to exempt another branch of government from the audit. The auditor's office was created by the people of the Commonwealth, and it supersedes any stupidity or idiocy that these people come up with, that they the auditor cannot audit every portion of government. You know, that's it, just plain and straight. There's nothing that gives them any authority to do what they're doing.
But they also said the courts can't adjudicate any disputes between the auditors. That's what the legislature, all of them voted, well, Democrats, no Republicans, voted for this. That's what Diana's pointing out, and WCVB has pointed out. So what happens now, Don?
I have no idea. I mean, if they're going to, you know, not honor their oaths of office, they're supposed to respect the people. And that's my second point, Chris.
Yeah.
When we the people act, our public servants are supposed to give due diligence to make sure that what we voted for is faithfully executed, you know, to the highest degree, mm-hmm. because we the people are speaking to them, and they are obligated to us to do as we command in a constitutional manner.
Mm-hmm.
And they're finding every other way, like a bunch of rats to hide in the corners and say, well, no, we don't have to do that. No. We speak, you obey.
Right, but you recognize that that is a practical impossibility when they don't have competition. In other words, they're not
Correct.
Afraid of the people because there's no alternative to them.
Correct.
But being, you know, the Democrats are the only people on the ballot because of the ineptness of the Republican Party, generally. Not always, but generally.
No. The point of bringing this up, though, Chris, is so that everybody in your audience understand what's going on,
mm-hmm.
that our public servants have no authority to do what they're doing. And if the voters don't know this, then we are completely lost as a commonwealth and as a nation.
But there are remedies. And as an example, if there is not somebody running against the Democrat on the Republican line in your community, and then you could write yourself in, get 150 at least of your friends to do the same, and then you're on the ballot, you being the proverbial you, not the exact you, Don, to run as the Republican nominee to question your Democrat opponent on the audit vote.
No, you're correct. Yeah, no, people have to get involved.
Yes.
I mean, I am toxic. I can't do anything like that. But other people can.
And you could certainly support people in your community. Someone has to step up, but they need to bring at least 200 people with them, right? To write
yes.
their name in. That way they make the minimum.
Yes.
But you could do it, Don, even if it's not you.
I try, Chris. I try my best.
I know you do, my friend. Thanks for the call. And you're very informed. I do appreciate it. Don from Stoughton, 508-996-0500. You've also got the upcoming vote, the revote on the Old Colony school, the new vocational school named Old Colony. That vote will take place in Mattapoisett, Lakeville, Carver, Acushnet, and Rochester. That is coming up as well. Fairhaven, you've got a town election and a 2.5 override vote tomorrow. Please come out to vote. Back to the phones. Open phones, whatever's on your mind. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Chris. How are you?
Good. What's happening?
You know, in the book, I still have the booklet from the election.
Okay.
And it's stating here that the state auditor is independently elected by the people of Massachusetts to audit every state entity. And then Section 12, state auditor shall audit accounts, programs, activities, and functions. All departments, offices, commissions, institutions, and activities of the Commonwealth. And the state auditor shall have access to books, documents, and vouchers and other records. I'm just giving you a condensed version.
I like that.
But that's what's written in the book. It's theft. It's abuse of power. Ron Mariano's a rat. He said that if an audit will have political implications, what? The supermajority Democrats that are run by communists and Nazis, and they're turning against the moderate Democrats? Is this what you're talking about, Ron Mariano? You know, so it doesn't open up the books that you're ripping us off, that you're putting the people in this Commonwealth into poverty, abject poverty. You're stealing our money. The state of Massachusetts, it's the third most wealthiest in out of the 50 states. Over taxation, all the tax revenue, millionaires tax, and all the other taxes. It's never enough. Over taxation and reckless spending. Karen Spoker is another thief. And Governor Healey endorsing a Nazi of the Waffen-SS that killed many of our soldiers. They would stab them, they would bayonet them through the heart and then leave their bayonet stuck in the tree and leave them there to die. This is who the people are. That's who she's backing up. The SS, Nazis that killed many of our men over there in World War II. Ridiculous. How can we put up with this garbage? And many of the people that we lost in Normandy, that all their crosses are there buried in Europe, that never came home. And we're supposed to back these radicals, communists, Nazis. When are people going to smarten up?
Thank you for the call, my friend. I do appreciate your contribution to the program. Remember, a Nazi and a communist are basically the same thing, all right? Ayn Rand laid it out. Nazism, communism, socialism, it's all the same form. All different forms of the same thing, collectivism. It's and tribalism, same thing, right? Remember, the Nazis came to power in part with the help of the communists, and then Stalin and Hitler made a pact. Hitler broke it and invaded the Soviet Union. But for a long time, the communists supported the Nazis, and the Nazis supported the communists. In America, the Communist Party was all about keeping the Americans out of World War II to defend Europe from the Nazis. That was the main function of the Communist Party for a number of years in America, was defending the interests of the Nazis with their significant presence within the Roosevelt administration. That's just history. It's a fact. And so the fact that Graham Platner up in Maine has a Nazi tattoo, but also avowed that he's loyal to the Marxist and the communist line, even though he's in the Democrat Socialist Party and running as a Democrat, is really not something new to those of us who understand, and many of you do, that you can be a Nazi and a communist, that many communists and Nazis work together to include the top communist Stalin and the top Nazi Hitler. They had a pact. I mean, it's a matter of history. Hitler broke it. But the fact that Graham Platner had a Nazi tattoo for 18 years and is today a communist running as a Democrat shouldn't really surprise anybody. I mean, they're all the same. They're two different heads of the same hydra. Collectivism. It's a dangerous philosophy. 508-996-0500. Again, we got an election tomorrow in Fairhaven for select board, planning board. I'm not sure if school committee is a competitive race. But anyway, you'll see it when you get there tomorrow if you live in Fairhaven. And a Proposition 2.5 override. That's a personal vote. You got to do with it what you think you can afford, what you think you want for the town. That's entirely up to you. Upcoming, we'll have a vote on the Old Colony, a revote. You guys voted it down, but they want to come back again to Proposition 2.5 override. Not an unlimited one. It's a temporary one, 20 years, to pay the bonds for the new school if it passes. That'll be Lakeville, Rochester, Acushnet, Mattapoisett, and the town of Carver. Right? So pay attention to that. The superintendent from the Old Colony system, he had his PR person reach out to Tim Weisberg. Tim forwarded to me. I responded. I'm yet to hear from the paid member of the PR team about whether we can get the superintendent to come on to talk about it, because I know a lot of you are concerned about the revote. Some of you want the school, Some of you don't. And I'm happy to give a forum to the superintendent. Anybody else, if you got an opinion, you can give me a call. 508-996-0. Find it back to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Don from Stoughton and Jimmy there. They're big contributors to your program, especially when Jimmy brings out all those that research that he's done on particular things that he talks about.
Yes.
So those guys are essential to your program. The other thing I want to mention about Diana DeSaglio there, I believe on that program on OTR, she also tried to, I think she's been listening to your program, Chris. She wants people to call the governor and have her veto this measure by the Democratic legislature. So it sounds like a move by Chris McCarthy to get a grassroots group of people to make some change.
Well, I can tell you that friends of mine, Aaron Burke and Mitzi Keating, who are married, they ran into Diana recently at an event they were at, and she's a big fan of the program. And, of course, she won her auditor's office in part with the support of the people of Greater New Bedford. I mean, that's part of her victory coalition. And I've seen her a number of times, both here in the studio, and I saw her at Cisco. She was at an event for Ian Abreu last summer. She's around here quite a bit.
She had to move down here.
I'd be all for it.
I know you would.
More statewide elected officials should live down here. In fact, one might be from here. Sean Oliver, continue this winning streak that he's on, and that's entirely up to you and me, if he does, could be the first statewide official coming out of New Bedford, certainly in our lifetime. Anyway, stay tuned for more of that. 508-996-0500. That's how you can get on the air. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Chris. Barry, good morning. How are you?
Barry, how are you doing?
Oh, we're doing good. And Chris, everybody, all your listeners in Fairhaven, good luck in the election tomorrow. You got some tough budgetary items coming up, as we all do, Chris. But I just wanted to throw my support again. I can't vote for her. I did get to meet her when you and I were hanging out in Nantucket in the early days with Senator McLean. But I got to meet Pam through Senator McLean's office. And, you know, she's going to be one of those select women or select persons that's not going to have to look at the school budget, Chris, because she was on the school committee for so many years, as you know. And in addition to that, where she is over at Pace in New Bedford, which a lot of our listeners and friends get to access, she knows how to do grant writing and things of that nature. So you're very fortunate. Hopefully the friendly people in Fairhaven will vote for her tomorrow. And good luck, Chris, because you got some tough times as we do coming up.
Thank you for the call, Barry. Yeah, Pam Kieschel is on the ballot tomorrow. If you missed our interview with me, you can find it, the podcast out there. I had Miles as well, Miles Grant, he's on the ballot as well. And Rick Trapillo, he was here last week. They're all on the ballot tomorrow. It's only up to you if you decide to show up to vote, which if you're registered in Fairhaven, you probably should. 508-996-04, but it's entirely up to you. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hello.
Hey.
I had a question. What do you think about that vote for the school on Saturday, the 20th?
What do I think of it?
Yeah, I find it kind of weird.
Okay.
During the summer, on a Saturday, they're having that vote. A lot of people are on vacation.
Yep.
A lot of people travel. It just seemed weird to me that it's on a Saturday.
Well, let's think that through. Why would, in your opinion, they want to do this revote on a Saturday in the summer, right after it was already defeated? Why would the powers that be want to do that, sir?
Because they want it to pass.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
Yeah, no, I get it. Thank you for the call. So if what he's saying is, this is the old colony redo vote. Remember, it was voted down overwhelmingly. And they're doing it right away. Now, again, if you want a new vocational school and you believe that your town in Mattapoisett needs one, your town in Carver needs one, Rochester needs a new vocational school, if you believe that, if you believe that Lakeville, if you believe that Acushnet needs a new vocational school and you're willing to pay for it, and you realize that if you build it in the future, costs will likely do what? Go up. Well, that's maybe why you want to vote for it. However, if you also think that maybe they could scale down the green new energy part of the project, which is really driving up costs, and that's not my opinion. That's the opinion of a lot of people who've looked at these plans and looked at the Green New Deal type engineering and construction requirements that have been built into this new old colony vote. Maybe if you think that after Governor Healey is gone, they'll take those out, and that'll make the same school cost a lot less. Maybe you'll vote against the old colony. Again, I have invited, through their paid political spokesperson, the PR team at Old Colony, the superintendent, to come on and explain it. But I'm yet to hear from them, although they reached out to us first. I don't know. I really don't know what you should do. Because, again, with a Prop 2.5 override like the one tomorrow in Fairhaven and the Old Colony vote, it's up to you personally, because you know what you can afford to give up, what you can afford to pay, and what you want for your community. So if you think that investing in a new vocational school is worth the money, by all means, you should vote for it. If you do not, for whatever reason, and they're entirely yours, you should vote no. And maybe if you're offended, and I don't often use that word, but if you find it to be offensive, anti-democratic, to immediately have a second vote after the first vote went down, just re-voted again, even if you support the school, but you're maybe a bigger supporter of the people's voices, democracy, maybe you want to teach an educator a lesson, right? Maybe you'll vote a different way in this upcoming election. I don't know. But I know that a lot of people are offended. You know how I know? Because I did it. In other words, they voted against how I wanted it to go in Freetown decades ago now. And I went along with a revote, a second vote. So I know how people can feel about that. In other words, I think a lot of people got angry because they said, hey, we already decided on this. How dare you bring it up again? Just because you have the ability to bring it up again and you didn't support what the people said. Okay? So I know how angry people can get. I was the recipient of a lot of angry people telling me exactly how disagreeable they found my decision as an elected official to do a revote. I mean, I know because I felt the venom. And I was, to some degree, sympathetic to them. I could tell they were angry. So I get it. I'm not trying to plumb the depths for more anger, although that's part of my business here at Talk Radio. I'm just telling you, I've been an elected official who did what just happened from the elected officials in charge of the Old Colony vote. I've been them. 508-996. But anything else that's on your mind, let's go back to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, Chris.
What's happening?
I'm just hoping they don't vote to make me take out an $18,000, $20,000 mortgage for 30 years to pay for some school. Right. You know, it's going to be kind of tough. And the people who want to fix income, they're going to get killed out here. Yeah. There's a lot of seniors in the Acushnet. We can't afford it. But if they do want to vote for it, what we ought to do is we ought to have a system. Mm-hmm. Where if I get to pay $20,000 over the 30-year term, mm-hmm. every address in a Acushnet that has to vote or that has to pay for it, $20,000, we should get a stipend. That's a vocational school. We should be able to have free labor from these people. You know what I mean? It's a trade-off. They want an education, they're going to work for it. So, like, I got a problem with the roof, send some carpenters over. Okay, I wrote off $10,000 off of my bill. So every address should get about $20,000 of free labor. That'd be fair. You know what I mean?
I kind of like, thanks for the call, thanks for the contribution. I get where he's going with that, and obviously he's being sarcastic to some degree. But let me put it out there that all of these young men and women that go through the vocational school, Old Colony, should you folks decide to build it, and they decide to go into the trade that you help them get, they will ultimately add to the labor force and bring down the cost of labor. Now, I get it. That's a big stretch. There's a lot of ifs in that equation. But to the gentleman's point, what the people at Old Colony are trying to do is to make a more educated, more skilled workforce in the trades. So plumbing, carpenters, the gentleman mentioned carpenters, and other trades like that that we desperately need. And the only way you're going to get them is with a vocational education. So to the degree that he says free labor, you will ultimately, if they stay in the trades, get a reduced labor cost, in theory, by adding more tradesmen to the equation. 508-996-0500. You know, you probably have got some cash sitting and rusting right in your yard. Let me help you today turn that junk car into cash today. Mid-City Scrap in Westport, we pay top dollar for complete vehicles, just like the one that's making a mess of your yard and aggravating your spouse. Turn it into cash today at Mid-City Scrap in Westport. We pay top dollar for complete vehicles. Let me explain. Small car in your yard, $400 to $500 in cash. Mid to large size car, $500 to $600 in cash. SUVs, up to $700 in cash. Full size trucks, up to $800 in cash. No games, no waiting, just fast cash. You're saying to yourself right now, well, I don't know if it's a small car, mid size car. I don't even know what an SUV or a truck is. That's all right. These guys do. Just pick up the phone. They'll handle it all. Very simple. Call Joe, Johnny, Mark, or Doug at 508-675-7831. They'll tell you if the car is worth $500, $600, $400, $700, even $800 in cash. Leave it up to them. They'll assess the vehicle, but they got to know about it. And that's why you call them. Johnny, Mark, or Doug at 508-675-7831. Mid-City Scrap, cash for junk cars in State Road in Westport. They don't know about your junk car unless you call them. So call them. They'll come out. They'll tell you what size car, how much it's worth. Take it off your hands today. Leave the cash. Take the car. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Are you in tune? Are you in tune with what's going on in the city of New Bedford? Listen to this, guys. One of the assessors, long-serving Mr. Tredup, has decided to retire, leaving a vacancy on the Board of Appeals. the assessors, the board of assessors. So it's a three-person board. Peter Berethium is one of the assessors. Kim Saunders, an accountant, is one of the assessors. And there's now a vacancy. And it will be selected out of the applicants by the city council. Oh, boy. I'm hearing a lot of rumors about people who want to fill the vacancy, members of the city council who want to fill the vacancy. Some of the names are really interesting. What would you think? Because this is a closed process, all right? Closed process. Insider's game, okay? Insider's game. Voters need not apply. It'll be the city councilors. So, I think this vote is crucial to the future of New Bedford. Remember, the assessors help set the tax rate, okay? What about a relative of a city councilor? Now, remember, it's only the city council that can vote on this. So what about a relative of a city councilor, a direct relative, as defined by the ethics committee, applying for the vacancy? And what about the fact, possibly, that their relative, currently a member of the city council, may be lobbying the other city councilors, which is totally against the ethics, okay? When you have a direct conflict, you cannot vote on it, nor can you lobby your colleagues. But that may be happening right now. So, would you want a relative, no matter how qualified, of a city councilor to win the insider election because their relative, direct, not a distant relative like an uncle, which is clearly not a conflict as the ethics committee claims or makes the statement and they make the rulings, a direct relative. Okay, who's perhaps out there right now, or was anyway, lobbying their colleagues on the city council to appoint, vote for, although they recognize they can't do it because it's a conflict. But do they realize, and I know they probably should because that's the law, that it's a conflict for them to even lobby their fellow councilors to appoint a relative? What about a former city councilor being appointed to the now vacant position of a city assessor? Is that game going on? Well, we know it is. A former city councilor trying to lobby with some support from other councilors. They are currently councilors. This is a former councilor. Trying to get appointed to the Board of Assessors. Because there is a vacancy now with Mr. Tredup retiring. Really interesting stuff that you need to get in tune with. Because it's, you're going to pay their salary no matter who gets appointed. And obviously you need somebody with government experience who can hit the ground running. Somebody who's a taxpayer, obviously. So they're feeling the same burden that you're feeling in the city of New Bedford. And hopefully somebody with real experience, not only in government, but in the private sector, so they can really understand what you, the taxpayers, are going through and how to help the city advance forward with more business development, more of a increase in the tax base. The assessors, although quiet, play a real role in this. So I think you need to pay attention and watch this. I'm going to try to do my best to keep you informed of the ongoing political battle to fill the vacancy recently occurring with the retirement of Mr. Tredup from the Board of Assessors. Who is going to join Peter Bertham and Kim Saunders on the Board of Assessors? That is the major question going on behind the scenes in the city of New Bedford. Who will fill the vacancy? And I think it's got to be someone who's very qualified, understands the inner workings of government, and has showed a commitment to the city of New Bedford on the long term, right? I mean, it's always nice to say we're going to pick an outsider, but then they get there and they can't hit the ground running and they're totally without training, without testing. And that's not a good direction either. But picking a pure, like a relative of a city councilor, no matter how qualified they may or may not be, is not, I don't think that's a good direction for the city of New Bedford. I don't think that, or a former city councilor, I don't think either one of those